This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, it is one of the most common drugs that millions of people buy over the counter and take for heartburn and acid reflux. And I'm holding up to the camera my own package of generic Zantac. I bought it just a few weeks ago. And now there are worries that ranitidine, which is the generic name for it, contains an impurity that can cause cancer. The drugs have been recalled in the United States, but the situation here is really confusing and seems to keep changing by the day. Last week, Health Canada said it was assessing the problem. This week, it has issued a recall, but I'm not exactly sure what that means and if it applies to all forms of the drug, which is why Billy Chung of PharmaSave Drugs is here to help us sort it out and to take your calls. I'm so glad to see you. Thanks for being with us.
It's nice to be back. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Let me just give out the numbers because I'm sure I'm not the only person that has questions about this. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And we are talking about the situation with Zantac or ranitidine, which, okay, so what is it recalled or not?
So you know what? I first of all, say you're not the only one to be confused, and I'm sure there's listeners confused. And I can let you know that there's healthcare professionals, doctors, pharmacists who are also confused because it's evolving and changing, as you've indicated, fairly quickly in terms of just the messaging around it. The way it started is that in the U.S., and as much as I'm aware, there's a pharmacy in the U.S. that tests their drugs that they use. And it's what they consider third-party testing. So it's not done by FDA or whatever. And back in the summertime, I think somewhere around June time, they tested and found this NDMA. This is the chemical that is known to be carcinogenic in larger quantities. But it's also a chemical that's an impurity that's found in meats and milk and dairy products. Like it's in our water. Like it's there. It's just that as long as you're not taking too much of it, generally we think that it's fine. So this pharmacy found this chemical, told the FDA. FDA is like, okay, let's kind of analyze and look at this. And what happened was that about a week ago, I think it was the 13th of September, Health Canada did a release that basically said, hey, we're going to assess this. We know that there's this NDMA.
But this is after the U.S. recalled it.
The U.S. actually didn't recall it either. So you have to kind of look at the actual information in terms of whether it's actually an official recall or not. What you found in the U.S., though, is that there are voluntary recalls by some of the manufacturers of this drug. And at the same time, you probably saw in the media, some of the pharmacy chains did a massive recall as well. And so what happened was that there's kind of this blend of what's officially recalled versus what the companies have voluntarily done. And not all the companies did it because it's not all the ranitidines. And I think right now in Canada, there's 10 plus companies that make ranitidine. So it's not just one. And as it stands right now, earlier this week, four more companies said, okay, we're recalling our ranitidine as well.
Okay. So first, Health Canada said, we're looking at it.
Yeah.
Then Health Canada said, okay, we've told the distributors to stop. We've asked the distributors to stop, but you can still buy the stuff that's on the shelf.
Yes.
Now I saw the word recall used. So what
those
has
are the
been?
Companies that have recalled it, right? So it's the companies themselves. So it's still Health Canada saying, hey, we want to be precautionary about
this. So they haven't recalled anything, because I saw those words in a press release.
There's different words in it, and you'll see that. And I pulled it out just trying to make sure, because again, lots of confusion around here. There's the assessing, and then here it's the request that companies stop distributing it,
yes.
Right? And then when you actually read the language, it'll say additional radiating drugs are being recalled by four companies. That was the earlier this week. And you'll see the four companies are listed there on the recall notice. So in total, there's five different quote unquote manufacturers that have pulled the ranitidine. There's still a bunch out there that can still be done. The other thing I think to keep in mind is that this is not a recall from a consumer or patient level. So in other words, you've seen recalls in the past where it says, hey, anybody with this drug, bring it back to your pharmacy.
Right.
And that's not the type of recall this is. This recall is simply just from the distributor down to the retailers, and to say, hey, okay, we're no longer going to send it out and you can't order it anymore. What's out there can still be given out. The reason for that too is that because of the nature of this, and they're trying to figure it out, is that at the end of the day, it's not something that's going to cause harm right away necessarily. It's not something that you can take and, oh no, I'm going to feel sick, or it's going to be causing something right away. It's over time. So it's one of these that it's the drug's been around for decades, decades. People are taking it for decades. So it's a different type of, I guess, confusion that's caused
but
as a
this,
result of that.
This thing is not in all forms of the drug, because I also saw something that Health Canada wants to make sure, like they're saying, you can sell it, but we want to make sure that yours doesn't have this NDMA in it.
So the ones that have been, the companies have voluntarily recalled the drug, it's been shown, they've tested it to say, hey, there's NDMA in this, so let's pull it off the shelf just to be safe, precautionary. Let's stop distributing this. There's a bunch of other manufacturers that's not part of this process, and they haven't identified or found it yet. But there's some data to say that they're suspicious that all ranitidine may have this, right?
Okay.
So that's the layering, right? So I think, you know, if we're going to look at kind of the short message to people out there, is that if you currently take it, this is probably the opportunity to go speak to your doctor, your pharmacist, to say, hey, what should I do? Do I still need this? Because I'll tell you, as a pharmacist, most people shouldn't need to take this on a regular basis. So the whole concern about the large quantities and issue isn't that big of a factor. Now, there are some people that take it every day. There's such situations, but there's alternatives. There's also other medications that are in the same class. There's other medications that work better that are in a different class. They could be alternatives to those people that have to take it. But this is the time to have a conversation, a review, evaluation. Do we need this anymore? Is there something else you can do instead? Is there non-drug things you can do? If it's for heartburn, typically what you're trying to do is avoid the foods, avoid the timing, don't lie down after you eat. I mean, there's a whole bunch of tips you can do to help avoid some of that stuff as well.
We are talking about Zantac ranitidine, and it is a very confusing situation where an impurity that can cause cancer was discovered. And so some of this drug has been voluntarily recalled. The situation keeps changing day by day in terms of what Health Canada is doing. And it's hard to know what to do. And also, there are alternatives to this, Billy, right?
The situation is confusing and definitely trying to decipher it is also a challenge, but you know, the simple route here really is to say, okay, the layer about what and how and whether it's a recall or not, you know what? At the end of the day, we know that there's some of these drugs that may have an issue. It's not one that is urgently going to cause a health concern, but it's one that gives you time as a person who uses it to go out and speak to your healthcare professional, doctor, pharmacist, and find out what you should do and look at alternatives. I think that's really the short avenue of trying to decipher some of this, is to say, hey, all right, if you're taking it, then let's look at what you should do as a result.
Well, what are the alternatives? There's Pepcid?
Yeah. So from an over-the-counter perspective, people have been taking the Zantac, which is the ranitidine. So the Pepcid is famotidine. It's kind of a cousin of ranitidine. It does the same thing. It helps to reduce the amount of acid that's released in your stomach, right? So switch. Speak to your pharmacist, see if it makes sense, you know, and try that one out and see if that's an alternative you take for that situation. It's still best to have that discussion first. And then obviously there's also prescription. So some people may be taking prescription ranitidine, and some of that's also been affected. And same thing, there's other alternatives available on prescription that people can take. And some of them is a class called proton pump inhibitors, PPIs, some people might have heard of. And there's, again, other versions of ranitidine that's not the same too. So there's solutions. This isn't a situation where there's nothing you can do and no alternative medication. So it's not bad.
Okay, people have questions. Let's start with Linda in London. And Linda, you have a question about proton pump inhibitors, PPIs.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Well, I've actually had a lot of experience with this in that my husband developed Barrett's syndrome, which is a precancerous syndrome, as a result of severe acid reflux. And in trying to deal with that, he was prescribed a PPI inhibitor, which, you know, a lot of people take for acid reflux. And the concern I have is that a lot of these medications are being prescribed by doctors for life. They're not being monitored. The information regarding whether these medications actually are working for the particular situation that you're being prescribed is not being addressed. And when I actually looked into it myself and did some research on that particular drug that he was taking, I found out that, in fact, they had determined there was no conclusive evidence that it helped Barrett's syndrome at all. And yet he'd been on this for many, many years. And then, of course, there was a lot of controversy about whether people should even be taking PPI inhibitors. And so, you know, people are that are self-prescribing and taking things like Zantac, which I did myself for a number of years to help with the acid. My understanding is that when people have acid reflux, it's not because you don't have, you have too much acid, it's because you don't have enough acid in your gut. And so based on that, you should be taking things that are going to normalize your gut activity. And what I'm seeing is that most pharmaceutical drugs change processes or alter normal processes in the body, which doesn't really heal the problem. It just sort of deals with the symptom.
Okay, so Linda, I'm going to let Billy respond. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. And there was a lot there that Linda talked about. So I'll address a couple of things. I completely agree. And not just for PPIs, but all drugs, right? You should be reassessed and reviewed on a regular basis. I would, very rarely would I say you should be prescribed a drug for life. Things change, your body changes.
Yeah, that's, sometimes that's people just, you know, they're comfortable with it. They think it helps them.
And that's usually sometimes what happens is as people are taking it, they feel good and they're feeling fine and they don't want to go off of it for fear that the original issue may come back, right? So any of these medications for acid reflux and heartburn and such, it shouldn't, you should be going after the cause. So one of the other things Linda talked about is that a lot of these drugs, they address the symptom, and that's correct. You're dealing with the symptom, but what you need to do is look at what's causing it, right? And so if it is food, diet, habits, things like that, then let's see if we can fix that. Let's see if we can figure out what's going on and try to change some of the lifestyle habits. And, you know, occasionally, I think, you know, that's the intent. When Zantac was removed from prescription and made over the counter, the intent is to have a more effective medication for treating heartburn when it does happen. But the intent is not for people to take it on a long-term basis. It really should be for just occasional relief only.
Okay, let's hear from Pamela in Orillia. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, good afternoon. Sorry, I'm in my car, but I guess my comment is similar to the woman who phoned in just previous to this, and that I started on a natural remedy of apple cider vinegar and warm water, just a tablespoon in a big glass, and that cured acid reflux. And I have told so many people who have adopted this and changed from taking medication to just drinking a glass of apple cider vinegar in it to, again, not reduce acid, but to increase the gas that's in their system.
And that's the balance, right? Do you take it regularly, Pamela?
Actually, you know, I actually got used to the taste of it, so I like it. Mm. Oh, I do. I drink it frequently.
Yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, if you find a solution that, and you should still speak with a healthcare provider around it, just around what it is, just to make sure. But if it's something that is not going to cause harm either, and it works for you. Now, it doesn't work for everybody, but for some people it may.
Yeah, I know people who it works for, and I tried it. Didn't work for you.
That's the best way is to say, hey, well, are there alternatives? Are there things you can do? Are there things you can do in the short term? And obviously also is that if for some reason, like for example, for people where the natural remedies may not work, then see if there's other medications that will do it or other natural remedies. There's lots of things you can try. Cause this whole acid reflux and the heartburn thing, it does have a diet is a big piece. What you eat throws off the balance in your system, and your body is just trying to respond, right? So when your body responds, it can respond in all different ways, and that's where some of these discomforts come from.
Well, some of those things are hard to give up. Like I'm not giving up my coffee. Sorry.
Yeah. Caffeine, good. But it's a balance, right? Yeah. But you know, spicy foods, right? How
like
often are you
too,
eating
yes.
that, right? But if you're eating it very regularly, maybe you might need to modify diet. I mean, there's lots of things we may need to change to feel better.
Okay, let's go to Dennis in Brampton. Hi, Dennis.
Thank you for taking my call, Libby. I'm also on the car phone, so I'll be brief. So my question is, I do have a diagnosis of GERD, which was done through a scope.
Yeah.
And I have done the dietary lifestyle changes, but I'm concerned that that's still not enough. And I'm currently taking Panto, the PPI.
Yeah, pantoprazole.
And but I was planning to go back on an H2 blocker. So I'm wondering, are there other H2 blockers that I can ask my doctor about other than ranitidine?
Yeah, and your doctor will know, right? There's famotidine, isatidine. There's a whole bunch of different versions of it that are available on prescription. And because you have been diagnosed with GERD, it is a prescription. You're using it for prescription. It's not the over-the-counter treatment that you need. And it probably will depend on, you know, how long the situation has. Have you been reassessed? Has the, you know, is the condition still there? There's a whole bunch of factors as your body changes over time. So it's, you know, opportunity to be reassessed. Now, you know, you're not on ranitidine, so you're not being affected by this. But, you know, if you're on pantoprazole as a PPI, I think it's still important for you to look at it once in a while and see if you still need to take that on a long-term basis or whether those alternatives.
Now, when you buy those PPIs over the counter, it says don't take it for more than 14 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Same idea. So just like the ranitidine moved from prescription to over-the-counter, there was PPIs, one of them specifically, that was moved, I don't know how long ago, a year or two ago as well. It's a more effective because a PPI works differently. It actually stops the acid production versus reducing the acid distribution in the system. So depending on the situation, but the 14 days is exactly the reason. Anybody who needs it longer, there's more things going on that needs to be dealt with, and you don't want to just continue taking over-the-counter drugs or even on prescription. You do need to be reassessed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a call from Werner. Hi, Werner.
Hello, Libby.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
About this heartburn stuff, I take a slice of ginger. You can buy it. It's a bit on the expensive side. It's processed, right? You buy it in the bulk store, even in stores. Slice of that ginger, it's gone.
Yeah.
What kind of ginger is it? It's not like ginger root that
you're slicing.
Yes, it is a ginger root, but it's processed. It's got some bit of sugar on it.
Oh, like crystallized ginger like you use in cooking?
Yeah, not cookies. It's a straight ginger.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
actually
I
envisioning, you know, like they have like dried mango slices. It's dried ginger slice. Is that what you're referring to, Werner?
Yeah, that's the one.
In a big bin.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, we'll try it. Won't
well,
hurt.
Hey.
Thanks.
It probably stimulates a little bit of stomach acid balance for them. You know, again, it's subjective too, right? Because you can have so many different factors happening. But yeah, if something works and it's not harmful and you're not eating, you know, 40 slices of this, go for it.
We're starting to run out of time here. So back to the original confusion.
Okay. Let's try to.
Okay. So if you do take Zantac.
Yes.
Maybe not constantly, but occasionally when you need it. And if it does work for you, should you stop taking it? Should you keep doing what you're doing? you know, in the interim before you can speak to a pharmacist or something.
So I would say if you were prescribed ranitidine by your doctor for whatever specific reason, whether it's an ulcer or whatnot, and it's being treated for that, you don't stop it. Okay. Continue to take it and then make an appointment with your doctor, or at least go in to see your pharmacist and speak to them and see how you should proceed. So in other words, for those people taking a prescription, the indications are different than simply just heartburn. Okay. So that's the first layer. For those people that are taking it over the counter, those are typically kind of self-medicated. It's heartburn. So it's not like a life-threatening, you know, issue necessarily. If you want to stop because you have concerns of whether your ranitidine is one of the ones that have been recalled by the company or whether it's one of the ones that is affected by this impurity, the NDMA, then stop taking it, deal with the heartburn for a bit, make your appointment, go speak to your doctor or your pharmacist and see what to do. I think those are probably the simplest things to follow through on right now.
Okay, good advice. Pharmacist Billy Chung from PharmaSave. Thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate the advice.
It's great to be back today. Thanks,
okay.
Libby.
Okay.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.